got it locked on WFRK, The Freak. That was my main man, Gangstalicious, with Thuggin' Love. We go into the phones. WFRK.
Hello? Am I called 13?
You sure are. And you know what that means?
What?
It means you're going to the Martin Luther King Emergency Action Party!
Oh! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I can't believe it!
It's gonna be all the way live, and baby girl, you're gonna be in the building. Tell me the station that's helping you shake your stinking ass with Martin Luther King.
WFRK, The Freak! Break!
And do the Harlem Shake.
Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. We are meeting tonight on this beautiful MLK weekend. Tonight's guests are Chris Lehman, Malcolm Darrell, Toria Williams, and John and Triana Wood. And tonight's topic is using MLK on your party flyers.
Ratchet.
Something tells me this is going to be probably our shortest podcast ever, because I'm pretty sure we're all in agreement. That is so... Can you say it again, Brother Malcolm?
Ratchet.
You are ratchet.
Ratchicity. Ratchicity. Ratchet to the nth degree.
People, please do not put MLK on your party flyers, even if it is MLK weekend. Please refer to the Boondocks episode when MLK came back and remind yourself of how he would feel if he was alive today and saw himself on your party flyer wearing gold chains, holding cash with naked cash. Chicks next to him.
Particularly given that these people obviously have no idea what Dr. King stood for.
That's Malcolm Darrell, by the way.
Thank you. I mean, it actually...
And this is John Wood telling you that's Malcolm Darrell.
Thank you, Brother John Wood. It's actually kind of insane. And what's funny is... It's just indicative of our country and people, just our country as a whole, not being aware of our history, you know. Not only is that happening this weekend, but just as a sidebar, there was a Gun Appreciation Day is tomorrow.
I heard about that.
And the man, I was listening to Al Sharpton on MSNBC, and the man who was chairing the event said that Dr. King would support their event. Because he believed in the right to bear arms. And I'm thinking to myself, did this man never even once go to one class about the nonviolent Dr. Martin Luther King? Indicative of the country's piss poor honoring of education.
And knowledge of history, specifically Black history.
If he had said Malcolm X, it might have been a little more
Well, at least you would understand why.
Well, right. Well, let me say just really quickly, this is John Wood. I really hate the word ratchet, but it was kind of invented for things like this, you know. But I mean, it's just clear, I guess, that people, you know, really don't care too much about what we're supposed to be thinking about when the King holiday rolls around. And this is my problem, not with the King holiday per se, but with our relationship to the King legacy, in as much as he has become such a sort of celebrated and iconic figure, which he rightfully should be, and yet we sort of use his image in a gratuitous sort of way, even when we're not putting it on, you know, bump and grind booty posters and everything. But we still use his name in a way to where we don't really think about what he talked about or what he stood for. You know, we're all happy to get the day off,
right,
and to go to the parade and have a good time, but we don't think about his philosophy. People, they get the sense that, oh, he was a pacifist, he was for civil rights, and he got shot, and we got the day off. But there's so much more to what King did, mm-hmm. and it would take way more than one of our podcasts to be able to go through it all. But that's what we should be doing. I mean, not necessarily this podcast, but as a community and a culture, we need to go back to his thought and his words, because he was as great a mind and as great a teacher and as great a leader as Black America and America general, and generally speaking, has ever had. And we lose our appreciation for that when we do, you know, ratchet stuff like this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was going to make the same point that it becomes just a 3-day weekend, obviously. And that's what they're taking advantage of, an opportunity. It's a 3-day weekend. You can use Sunday night to come out and party. And then Monday, his legacy not being recognized at all. It's like the day that you're dealing with your hangover, I guess. And it's like, what are you doing? And it was just front of my mind, even for myself, like, what are we doing to honor that legacy? I know we have a lot of podcasts and a lot of talks about, you know, who's the next great Black leader and who's going to change the society. And then you think about it, and you guys can correct me, he was either 38 or 39 when he passed away.
39. Yes.
Okay. That's mind-boggling to mm-hmm. me that mm-hmm. at 39 he had accomplished something so great.
Right.
Like at 39. So everybody in those clubs that are taking advantage of this 3-day weekend should really be challenging themselves and saying, what am I doing at this point in my life? And I may not have that significant of an impact, but that's something we should strive to do. Like if we look at 39,
right.
39.
Right.
I am so behind at 30. And if I can say I celebrate, I use this weekend to go out and celebrate in the club. I feel like I'm falling short of something. You know, it's more than showing up at the parade. It's more than celebrating, you know, Dr. King. It's like his work, his legacy. It's what we've come from. It's like, this is what you are. These are who your people are. So what are you doing? So to see it on a flyer and to see our folks excited, and I'm, you know, I was one of the ones like, ooh, 3-day weekend, you know. In return, how do we expect anybody else to respect who he was, or how can we get pissed at Arizona for not wanting to acknowledge it as a holiday when for many of us it's just another 3-day weekend mm-hmm. and we've got to do better. We've got to do better. Mm.
Here's my question. Is it just me, or is this the first time this has been done like this? I don't remember ever seeing MLK flyers.
We've been doing this for years.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When
the
I was
boys
in...
having the best MLK party.
Yeah. When I was in college, I always saw flyers for MLK weekend.
Really?
Oh, yeah. People have been doing it. It's just indicative of the exploitive culture that exists.
Yeah, because I also was told today that tomorrow, if you go to Burger King, you can get a free chicken sandwich because taste is king. That's what they're doing.
Help us, Lord. let me offer up something, you know, because, again, I this is Brother Malcolm. You know, one of the things that I appreciate is that to combat this, the ignorance of this, mm-hmm. There is a National Day of Service that comes out of the White House. And I am very excited about participating in it. I think it's, well, I found out about it through the inauguration website, but I'm sure if you look up National Day of Service that you can, it's that they do it, I think, every year on Dr.
She's
King's.
Yeah. Actually 40 hours a year. So it can't just be...
We really have to look beyond. And when you look at someone, because I keep harping on this being 39, that was more than one day of a commitment, you know, to get to 39 and be able to do that. So it's asking us to donate or dedicate 40 hours a year of our time, a day of service. You know, we have to start somewhere, and we can't look. When I keep hearing this 39, when I look at that, I'm like, we can't keep looking to older generations and looking for the wise, gray-haired Black man that's going to come and save us and enlighten us. It may be him, but clearly he's proven that it doesn't have to be one of our elders. It's us. It starts with us, this generation, because we still got some oomph in us, some fight in us. Not that our elders don't, but the challenge and the responsibility lies on us. And Brother Malcolm, I am too participating in a day of service tomorrow. Don't know what I'm doing yet. I got a couple ideas, but certainly made me say, you know what, it's bigger than going out to the parade. It's bigger than, you know, rocking my t-shirt. It's bigger than saying, hey, 3-day weekend off. Like, I feel short of something. If this man could do this at 39, I surely can do something. Maybe not as grand, but I certainly can do something.
And I think you're right. I think our elders I think our elders depend on us to take the lead. I think they feel like we're the voice for our current generation. And for us to look at them, I mean, they are elders for a reason. They've done what they have come to do. And so it's our turn to step up and stand up. So
your city got them whack flyers.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Shouldn't we acknowledge that? Well, I mean, a lot of them look like they came out of the South. And that, for me, we just have to acknowledge Miami, we just have to acknowledge the consciousness level that I feel is... No. I'm just saying there's a consciousness level, obviously. I mean, look at the music.
Let's just say... I would say on one end, it's just real sad.
I say listen to the music.
Oh.
It's just very sad. Like, I saw that interview about the guy who was like the National Gun Day or whatever. That was just shocking to me because I'm sure my son's age, you get taught... You automatically know that gets pressed in your head just the basics about Dr. King, that he was nonviolent. Right. So like, why would you celebrate a day of using a weapon on his day? Well, like, if I said, why don't we do this on Veterans Day? It'd be like, oh, no, we can't do that because there's so many people that died from guns. Like, well, but it's okay during the day when Dr. King was part of a group that was getting hosed and having dogs on them. But because there may not have been a gun involved, it was okay. I don't get that. But on the flyers don't make any sense at all. I'm like, that's my thing with the holiday. If I have like, hey, I'm having a holiday on Memorial Day, can I put some graves on it?
They will. Like,
with a hand coming out with some money on it. Like,
burning like cash money. With money. We've got to do better, people. We have got to do better.
I just kind of like having a Christmas party with a poster with like Jesus with his stunner shades on.
Right. Why not just ride the whip?
It's just so ignorant.
But that's
Holy Ghost that, ride the whip.
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost ride. See, now that is going to be on a flyer. Holidays 2013, guaranteed. Holy Ghost ride the whip.
Oh, no. this is bad. We're giving people ideas.
Don't you Sambos do it. I'm telling you right now.
We sound so bougie right now, but I do not care. Get yourself some edumacation. My God. 2013? Like, this is ridiculous. It really is ridiculous that... and, you know, hopefully you guys will see some of the link to some of the flyers that we looked at prior to starting the podcast. But, I mean, having Dr. King... photoshopped on a person who's got on a leather jacket and got a gang of gold chains or holding, you know, $100 bills like he's about to make it rain. It's a desecration of his memory, of his legacy. And ultimately, I mean, obviously it's ignorant, but it concerns me. But that's where the world is. It's not even just, you know, black folks. It's like the ignorance of America. America is so stupid in some certain respects, that we don't even respect our own history. And what's interesting also about Dr. King and this weekend is that I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was saying at her school, no, she was babysitting someone or something. She was having some interaction with a young white child, and the white child had no idea who Dr. King was. Mm-hmm. I think the child was like 10. Mm-hmm. And I just was, and I think this is in California, mm-hmm. and I just was beyond like, because we have to understand this is not just black history. Dr. King changed the course of humanity and American history. And so it's not about, oh, we're going to celebrate. I mean, I think the same issues come up with ignorance when it comes to why we celebrate President's Day. Why do we celebrate Veterans Day? Why do we celebrate Memorial Day? I'm sure.
Why do we celebrate any of these days? Why do we
celebrate a day off? If y'all gonna do Dr. King this way, then I want to see dreads on Lincoln for President's Weekend. That's it. Yes.
Let's just we're gonna do this. Let's go.
No standards whatsoever.
But you know, I agree with what Brother Malcolm was saying, and you're right. It is Malcolm. It is an American problem generally. If it's all the more poignant in the case of these posters, it's just because, you know, we are black people. And even though King did what he did for America, but he did what he did for our immediate situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's black people and people who had been oppressed for so long. But the thing that's jarring is that we all know that King would not have approved of these posters. But, you know, this is the ignorance of King and what he taught is what allows for people to put these things up. And I think people generally will look at those posters and think, I don't think King would like that. But they don't really know enough about King to really understand just what part of King would have rejected that. You know, King, I was reading, because I have King's collected works and articles at home, and I took it out and was reading one of his articles today, and it was an interesting article. I'm not going to get too sidetracked, but he wrote an article about the struggle for civil rights in the North, and of course, you know, King was a Southern preacher, and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference was, you know, active primarily in the South, in Georgia and Alabama and so forth. And King was lamenting the fact that the civil rights movement had become sort of a regional phenomenon. And he talked about how in the North, you know, you did not have the type of legalized segregation that you had in the South, so people sort of got the sense that things were better in the North. But what that meant was that there was more progress being made in the South because more of the problems were acknowledged.
Existed there, right.
Right. And he wrote this right after the Watts riots. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he said was that, at least going to Malcolm's point earlier about poverty and materialism and so forth, and King's stance on that, King said that, he said, at least in the South, with black people and white people living side by side, everybody's sort of poor in these rural areas. So you have poor black people living alongside poor white people, and there is some economic sense of solidarity that it's buried beneath all the racism and prejudice, but that's at least sort of there to build on. He said in the urban cities, and especially in Los Angeles, you have a community like Watts, which is as close as you can possibly get to Los Angeles, and yet as far as you can possibly get from Los Angeles in terms of material wealth. And he said, the political leaders in California should not really be surprised that you would have riots. And King was quick to say that he deplored the use of violence, but he understood the fact that you had these poor black people living this island of white luxury, that this inflamed their passions and their sense of justice and indignity. So now we have a culture where we celebrate that type of materialism, and we put King's face on it, on a poster, and act like he would have been cool with that, you know? And so it's gotten to the point where, you know, to me, we are long past the point where our culture is absurdly offensive on so many levels. And I don't say that to judge anybody. I don't judge anybody. It's just the way our history has led us to this point where, you know, we just have forgotten so many of the lessons we used to know. But people need to start remembering, because the things King talked about are applicable long beyond his time. But to keep offending his legacy the way we do, frankly, we should be ashamed of it. But more than being ashamed of it, we need to correct it.
You know? Right. I think that's the part. That's why they can't be ashamed of something that they don't know, that they aren't aware of. Right. Yeah. So there's no shame in something that you don't know.
And one of the graphic designers, I think the one with the gold chains, he was like called out about that. And the party was canceled and the flyers were collected and gotten rid of, because that one was so over the top. It was just the
money is over the top too.
Yeah,
that I mean, it really is antithetical to me, Dr. King's legacy and Dr. King's movement. I mean, Dr. King walked alongside all people, mm-hmm. but he never did what he was doing for money.
No,
you know what I mean.
King was a poor man.
He had a kid. I mean, he had kids, a wife, and they lived a modest life. They lived in a community where they were, you know, terrorized, and I'm sure it was probably a middle class neighborhood. And I think for me, what's also just startling about this whole moment is, again, I go back to America's deficiencies in education, and it's alarming. And I think we have to, on a serious note, not that we're not speaking about this with that tenor, but what is this country going to become if we don't begin to realize that if you forget your history, you're bound to repeat it, you know? And so we have young people not aware of the contributions of certain historical figures that altered how we interact with people as citizens of this country, as citizens of this world. And that it concerns me. You know, I don't have children right now, but I think I guess I can understand why people start to want to have their kids educated a certain way, because you just want them to have a chance. You want them to be informed, particularly if your parents, if you are a set of parents and you've been educated and you understand it and you know you know what they need versus what they won't get. And it really is concerning me. And I just feel like the discussion is not really happening. You know, I mean, first of all, America has so many issues to deal with.
Yeah,
but I feel like education is so at the root of so much of it. And part of that is you do have to keep a certain amount of your population ignorant for capitalism to even exist.
It is. I'm going to keep it very real, though. I think for most people, especially if we're talking about race and culture and different figures, historical figures in race and culture, people don't usually think about those folks that are outside their own race. They just don't. None of us sit back and think about Cesar Chavez, I'm sure. you might, but you're not putting as much. We don't put as much energy into thinking about what his contribution was, and any Asian American person that has made a great contribution, or any Native American person for that matter that's made a great contribution. Everybody tends to think about their own race and where that matters. And outside of our race, I don't think anybody outside of Black people. Well, I won't say anybody, but I don't think everybody gives Martin Luther King Jr. as much credit as we do, or puts as much emphasis on his contribution as we do. And when we're talking about parents of other cultures and other races, I just think if it's not something that they have to think about, they just don't. Which is why we have that one child who is working on homework about MLK and knows nothing about it, because the parents themselves are not really thinking about MLK and therefore don't feel the need to teach it. My challenge will go out to the teachers themselves, to educators. Like, move away from whatever your actual curriculum/pacing guide tells you to do. Move away from the I Have a Dream speech. Move away from crossword puzzles and pictures coloring of MLK with quotes. You know what I'm saying? Look at all that he did. Can we talk about more than just that? I Have a Dream is not the only speech he gave. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are so many right, and there's so many different things that he talked about, so many issues that he worked on the behalf of. And I think we have to go beyond the scope of that. I have to say, I'm really proud of one of the teachers I work with. She decided this year to teach her students about paying it forward. And she used the film Pay It Forward to kind of give them a little idea of what that practice meant. But she was saying to them, MLK was somebody who was so selfless that he put his life on the line to help so many other people. And we need to do small things. Even if we do something small, even if you take over your sibling's chores for the day, if you help your mom bring in groceries and you normally don't do that, those little things that you can do to help somebody make their day easier is your way of kind of emulating what he did on such a grand scale. You know, so let's learn how to pay it forward. Somebody did something great for us. Martin Luther King Jr. did something great for all of us. Let's now do something great for somebody else. And I thought that was a really smart move. Of course, I was very proud of her for coming up with that lesson plan and putting it together. I'm challenging other teachers, just, you know, especially if you are not somebody who's of the culture and you yourself do not have the knowledge and history of the man, look him up. Read something. Don't just accept the little pamphlet that was put in your mailbox and hand that to your kids. Give them something else.
I'd like to take it a step further, because I thought about this earlier this week. Some very dear friends of mine, they lost their grandmother. And so at the house, I happened to be sitting next to her sister-in-law, who has to be well into her 80s. And she was recalling stories. And it hit me that so much time is spent on teaching our kids our history that we've seen on TV and the news. The history is in your family. Your legacy is right there. She spoke about being a young woman growing up in Arkansas, what she and her brother did, and how they were raised, and the values that were instilled with them, and how at 5 years old, she knew to how to make a bed. And I was just like, you are a legacy. Like, if every little kid in this household could just take 3 or 4 traits from her, you're good on your history, because then you know what it means to be a Black woman. I don't even have to show you Harriet Tubman or Sojourner Truth. I will, but your history, your legacy, your character, who you're supposed to be, is sitting right in your family. And it was an amazing moment, because I just was sitting there like she was a book, and I kept questioning her question after question after question. And all the stories she had to tell. And I was like, you know what? We don't spend enough time telling our children who their family are, who their family members are, where their family came from, who your grandmother is, who your great-grandmother is, how these two got together. I mean, we're sitting here talking about a couple that was married for 62 years.
Yeah.
10 children.
Yeah.
and kept the family together. How much more history do you want? You're talking about teaching you what it means to be a black married couple in the middle of Watts, raising 10 children. As my friend said, taking care of us, but also making sure our souls were okay. Like nobody in this family, nobody, you know, grandpa was nice is what they, grandpa was nice. You couldn't make grandpa mad unless you did two things, lie and steal. Can you imagine if that's the only thing those kids in that household knew, that you don't steal, you don't lie? My grandfather taught me that. They're good. They wouldn't even have to, yeah, a book would be good. But if you got the lessons of just who's breathing life into you, like whose womb you came through, you're good. And I was like, you know what? We don't spend enough time talking about this. You know, this particular time, the kids were around and they could hear it. And when I say kids, I'm talking from as young as five up to like 22, 23. But to hear their aunt speak, you know, they're like, she's talking about picking cotton. And I'm like, you were picking cotton? You were picking? You're like, yeah, we were staying in the field. She's like, and my mother used to tell my husband, you're the only man that keep their kids out in the field picking cotton after 7 o'clock. She's like, and we would fill up the sack and then we'd take it down and weigh it. And it was just like, what? You know, I learned vocabulary from her that I had never heard of. I was like, what the hell is that? You know? Yeah. She was like, yes. And I was like, you know what? I didn't need a book. Like, to be able to say, I know this woman, and to just pick up from her. And they were talking about disciplining kids. And she was like, yeah, you know, that's what you do. And so we have to spend so much more time teaching our children who they are and where they come from.
We definitely have to spend more time with our elders and getting those stories.
I think they would be so proud if you knew, like, my great-grandmother picked cotton and my great-grandfather did this, you know. And my
I wonder how many families actually talk about it, though.
That's
too,
what I'm saying.
Like, because for some of the families, they won't look at it and see it as something that they grew from. They'll look at it and see as this is a part of our history that we're ashamed of and we don't want to discuss it.
That goes to the question of why it's difficult for us to talk about our history.
Which is in and of itself a separate podcast, so we're not going to go there just yet. Agreed, though. Yeah. Very good point, T. And I think I feel like I'm one of the few people that's extremely lucky because I came up with a great grandmother, my grandmother's mother, until I was 19. Most people don't have that person in their family.
Yeah,
So you don't have a real big mama to tell you what it was like. You know, my great grandmother would tell me the first time she saw a car come down the street, she fell off the porch because she had never seen anything like that. She just kept following it, that she fell completely off the porch. Like, what is that?
And the accomplishments in your family. You know, for me to be able to say my great grandfather was a pastor, to me that's way more important than anything I've ever read. Or to know that my grandmother, you know, was very proud that after moving from Mississippi and raising three children, was able to go back and get her BA. You know, she was sick and she tapped. I remember, I'll never forget when she was sick and ill and amnesia coming in, and we had the one of the attorneys come in to go over her paperwork and everything with her. And she's like, you don't have to talk to me like that. Look over there on that mantle. I got a master's. And I was like, yo, that's dope. My grandmother has a master's from Mississippi to Detroit. And those are the things I think I will never forget. Those are the things I would share with my children. This is what you come from
directly. Absolutely.
Like, spit you out in your blood for real, for real. This is who you are. Not in the books, but it's through your veins. That in itself get kids proud. And the reason why I know it makes them proud, kids in the hood stick their chest out when their uncles are the OGs or their dad is the original gangster. My brother is this. So they'll stick their chest out. The more we tell them about who they really are and all that they are, that's our black history. And then your challenge is to start making it, because you definitely can. You know, you definitely can.
Agreed. Well, family, we have anything to say in summation about these ratchet-ass posters?
We're on our way to Auburn right now.
We shall overcome. We shall. We shall drop it. We shall drop it. We shall drop it. We shall drop it.
I'm on there like, look, if you want to have an MLK party, that's fine with me. Just don't put the brother on your flyer. Unless you're doing some community service type thing that work. But if you can just put MLK weekend, we know who you're talking about.
Connect a cause to your party. Like, you know, you can't get in without this or something like that.
Right, or donate
other
some
than
funds
than
to
your
it.
Hoodies and your heels.
Right.
All right. Hoodies and heels all welcome. Knock it off. If you don't, knock it off.
Anybody else? Well, thank you so much for joining us. Please stay tuned for the next Black Is Break. Peace.